Well, it's nice to be back again. It's a long time since I was here. I think it was at a youth rally, and I remember coming then. I think that must be maybe 15 years ago. So it's nice to be back and to share with you the Word of God. I'm sorry your minister's not here. We're looking forward with our brother tonight again. He's a great fellow. We're very fond to have of him in our church. He's been coming to our church since he was a student. And he always thanks us for allowing him to preach. He said that many people want to hear him in that days. But we always thought he was good. And I seen in this young man a man of God, a man that loved the Lord, and also a man that knows the scriptures. And I'm sure you are enjoying the fresh word of God each week. And he's taken our prayer meeting this month, and we have certainly have enjoyed on a Wednesday night the messages that he has brought to us up to now. And so we love to encourage him, and that the Lord may bless him here. We pray for you. We pray for the work here, that the Lord will indeed use the servant of God in a mighty way, and that many souls will be saved and God's people will be built up for the glory of the Master. It's a great thing to be saved. It's good. I'm celebrating the 21st of October this month, my 47th birthday as being a Christian. And I always say that it's hard to believe 47 years have been in so quickly in life's journey. I'm 61 years of age now. I don't feel it. I feel good. And I thank the Lord for his blessings. But you know, it wasn't always that story in my life. I had no time for the things of God. But before we go into that, I want to read a couple of portions of Scripture. And the first portion is found in Psalm 118. It is a psalm of thanksgiving. I want to thank the Lord publicly for his hand upon me over these 30 or 40 odd years, or 47 years, and knowing him as my personal Savior. I certainly, when you hear my testimony, or maybe some of you have already heard it way back then, but in saying I want to give God thanks, because it is only he that can keep us and watch over us and help us through our life's journey and in the ministry of preaching the word. And the Psalm 118 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever." Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Them from forth shall I see my desires upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord and to put confidence in men. It is better to trust in the Lord and to put confidence in men. In my ministry, I've learned over the years not to put confidence in men, but put your confidence in the Lord, because he is the only one who will see us through and will bless those who love his word. But the most important scripture that God gave me many, many years ago when I got saved at first, it was this Proverbs chapter 3. It's a well-known portion of Scripture, but it has been a blessing to me over the years and has been a strength in times of doubt and fear, in times of trouble. I have found this portion of the Word of God a real strength in the time of need. Chapter 3, verse 1, "My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandment. For larger of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. write them upon the table of thy heart. So shall I find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with thy first fruits of all thy increase. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's have a word of prayer, please. Father in heaven, we thank you for the reading of thy word. We thank you, Lord, that thy word is quick and is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you, Lord, that thou art the one that we depend on and look to tonight. We realize the weakness of man, but we thank you that the Lord is our strength and power. We thank you, Lord, that thou art the life-giver, and we rejoice tonight for thy strength, O God. We pray that thou will bless this congregation. We pray, Lord, that thou will pour out your spirit tonight. And Lord, if there's any amongst us not saved, that you'll save them, that you encourage the people of God, that you, Lord, even some young man or woman or someone here who's wanting to serve thee, that I may be a comfort to show them how God can use and how God can make them mighty in the front of the Emily. We pray, O God, for the minister of the church, that thou will anoint him just now in his bed, that thou will touch him, O God, that thou will raise him up again, O Father, and bless him, and Lord, that he will be here on Tuesday night to proclaim the word of God. We pray, Lord, that thou will bless his wife and family, undertake for each and every one, and bless us all, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, my friends, tonight, God is wonderful. And God tells us here in his word that if we walk in his light and his commandments, he has promised long life. He has promised to bless us. He has promised to give us strength in times of need. Well, you know, as a young boy of 14 years of age who came to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, my background's very simple. I was brought up in a good home. My mother and father were not Christians, but they sent us to Sunday school. And Sunday school was a great influence in my life. At that time, I didn't think it because, and I want to encourage, and always say this, I want to encourage you Sunday school teachers. I don't know what the youngsters are like up here, but I know where I came from, we certainly give our teachers a hard time. And I was one of the ones that gave them a real hard time by fighting, using bad language. I was thrown out of the children's meeting and out of the Sunday school more times than enough. I was one in one door and out the other, and causing trouble and arguments and so forth in the Sunday school. Used to, in this young children's meeting on the Friday night, used to climb onto the chair, used to have a big flamagoth, and they showed all the slides and the courses, and they had the lights out, and they had this big seat up, and all the chorus, the kids were singing the courses and so forth. Well, I used to get up to my mischief and pull the wee girls' hair and legs, and you name it, I did it. But I was thrown out. But you know, I remember one day, this gentleman, Mr. McCarroll, you called him, and he couldn't take me any longer. He just couldn't have it. He actually lost it, and he grabbed me, and he pinned me against the wall, and he grabbed me around the throat they got to, and I was against the wall again, and I was, I just laughed and gave up, you know, that big evil grin you give, and that made him worse, and he started to shake me, and two of the teachers had to come and grab him and pull him off me, and I just fell to the ground, and he just couldn't have it any longer. And you know, remember coming back many years after, I gave him a testimony. He says, Eric, I wouldn't have thought you ever would get saved. I thought there was no hope for you. So there is hope. And you don't give up on the young children, because you don't know what they're taking in as you tell them the gospel. But to say, I never thought that I would listen to the word of God, and as I say, I was thrown out. But then there came two Americans, Mormons, came around our area, and they asked us to play baseball. We just got off of the summer holiday, end of June, and we were out playing football in the big green, and they came and they offered to play basketball and baseball, and so we thought this was great, because we'd never played baseball before, and so it was great to be involved in something different. And so they started to take us different places every Saturday to play. But after about 2 or 3 weeks, they come out one day and say, now, boys, if you want to be a member of this baseball team, you have to go to church. And I knew right then, I said, it was too good to be true. I knew there was some snag why these boys were offered to play baseball with us every Saturday. But I want to play baseball, so I went along to their little meeting that was in a little, we would call it a cottage meeting. And we went into this Mormon home, and there we got, they don't give you tea or coffee, they don't believe in tea and coffee, they have you a wee soft drink and popcorns and things like that there. But they taught us about Joseph Smith, no relation of mine. I don't think he's a relation to your other brother, your other Smith. Anyway, so he taught us how Joseph Smith has seen God, and how he translated what they call the Mormon book, and translated it, and he got it from God. Now, just before we go any further, let me also say this. I want to ask you a question. Tell me tonight, is there anybody in here can't read or write? Put your hand up. No, I wouldn't think so. Well, I couldn't read or write. When I was young, I didn't let nobody know that I couldn't read or write. I hid it for years that I had no education. I went to school. That's because I just couldn't understand how I couldn't learn like any other boy or girl. Well, in those days, you were just classed as stupid. We had a man, and I'm very, very hard. I can't remember. Names would be hard for me to remember, especially if I know you, and then you go away for a lot of years, so I would maybe forget your name. That's the way it affects me. In other ways, I couldn't read even John 3 and 16. Couldn't even write my own name and address. And that's how it was. And I go through school, I do not know. But always remember this teacher. Oh, he was a real rough big man. Big 6'6". And he used to come, I remember we were doing a test, and I just read anything. And he looked at it, and he says, a lot of nonsense, he said, Smith. And he hit me a big dig across the head. He said, Smith, he says, you'll be lucky you'll ever get a job sweeping the streets. You know, and he was very hard on me. Well, and after that, years later, they found out about dyslexia, how children are affected and affects different ways. That's the problem I have. But in my day and that day, it was nobody knew anything about things like that. And so I went through school, left at 15 years of age, went out into the world, not able to read or to write. Now, let me say something tonight. You should thank God, and maybe you never thought about it before. You should thank God that you're able to read and to write. You young ones, you should thank God that you're able to read and to write, and especially today when you need the qualifications. In my day, you could have got an NEA job, but today you need that. You nearly need to take A levels to be a bin man now. That's the way it's going. But you know, friend, I couldn't read or write at all. And you said, thank God that you're able to read. And best of all, read the Word of God. Oh, what a bit terrible when you stand before God and you haven't read God's book from cover to cover. And friend, be thankful they're able to lift this book and to read God's Word. Well, as I say, I went on and got into mischief and trouble. I even got blamed for things I didn't do. The police were never away from the door. So you're not able to read or write or never do anything else. You get into mischief, you get into trouble and all sorts of things, and I did. And many a door, people came to my door, and I was accused of things I didn't do. Everything happened in the state was Eric Smith. And I remember one time my mother, a woman came and said I hit her daughter, and my mother didn't ask questions. She took a strap out and she smacked like, I said, Mommy, it wasn't me. And she said, that's not like him, he's usually... He admits that he does it. So she up the street, you went, and once she found out, the woman found out, it wasn't me, it was my brother. I don't. And I got the brain. Everybody knew Eric Smith. And that was the sad thing about it. And so anyway, then as to say, we went to the Mormons church. And there, for the first time, I must be honest, I started to think about the things of God. As I said, never in the Sunday school or anything that I thought about these things. But in that thinking about how this man seen God, that was the thing that caught my attention. This man has seen God. I always had a fear of God in my soul. I used to remember as a youngster waking up and sweat, saying, thinking, where'd God come from? And not knowing that God had no beginning or no end. And he was always there. I couldn't understand that. And I remember many a time as a youngster thinking these things and can't understand it. But I say that I thought, not knowing the scriptures, that no man can see God. When you think about how can a nice sinful sinner like me see a holy God? We couldn't look upon him because he's so holy and without sin. And a sinful being like me could not see God. But I didn't understand the word of God then. And so then I started to go and I was baptized. I went to my parents. My parents said that was all right. And I was baptized into the Mormon church and started to go faithfully. Got all the literature, took it into school. No, I couldn't read it. And at the RE session, the teacher wasn't a Christian, so she took this literature and started to read the Mormon storybook. And they have lovely books, there's pictures in it and all that type of thing. And it all looks grand to the eye. And that's what I did. Pushing at the literature. Many a meeting we had in our backyard with all my mates and friends, pushing Mormonism forward as much as I could. And, you know, I did my best to live a good, clean life. They believe that you live by the Ten Commandments. You must join the Mormon church. You must be baptized into their way. And they are the only true church. And you must become a member of that church. And so that's what I did. But I used to get up at 5 o'clock. No, no education. I wasn't lazy. I was always prepared to put my hands out and use them. And I used to go out at 5 o'clock in the morning and deliver milk before I went to school. And the mom was a Christian mom. He called him Billy Douglas. And Billy loved the Lord. And Billy spoke to me many times. But this day when I came in and told him that I had joined the Mormon, he looked up. He said, "There's something wrong with your head," he said. And I said, "No, not at all." And I started to try to defend the Mormon way of life. And not realizing you never argue with somebody who knows the scriptures. And Billy knew the word of God. And Billy started to speak, and I got angry. And out came the filthy words. Plenty of religion, but no Christianity. No, not the old heart was still the same. The old ways were still the way. Same. Got baptized and all, but didn't change my heart and my way of life. It was still the same. I was trying to be religious. But I soon found out that I couldn't keep this. But I remember I was in the boys' brigade. And we had a big superintendent, Mr. Moore. He was about 6 foot something, very thin man, very tall. And I remember he loved the boys and girls. And he invited us to the boys' brigade, the church. And he got this big cup and he said, "Now, the best boy who attends church for a year, we'll get this at the end of the year." I always forget to say I won the cup. So I'm saying it now, kids, I usually forget to say that, but I won the cup at the end of the year. But anyway, I remember one day just when passing away in Sunday school, we didn't go to Sunday school. Me and my brother went up to the back of the shops. I mean, you know them cigarette machines that I used to have outside? And we smashed up with our elbow and took the cigarette and started to smoke up the back of the shops. And thought we were big fellas, you know. And so after the time was up, it's time to go home. So we headed home. Down home, and my mum was in the house. I'm up the stairs, and I was looking out the bedroom window. Here I seen this big man coming down the street. I said, "David, look, he's coming down the street. Hope he's not coming to our house." And sure enough, there he was at our door. He knocked on my mum. He went to the door. He said, "I'm just down to find out Eric and David weren't at Sunday school today." My mommy told the war. They were sent out. Well, they weren't there. So next month we were called down the stairs. And we come down like two wee angels and all nice. And And so we were caught on. And I tell you, we didn't sit down for a few days. And we never met Sunday school after that again. And we called him everything. But no, when I look back now, he loved the boys and girls. And he loved their souls. And he was out fishing and was concerned about our souls. And he was down round the doors. I wonder, do we do that today? Are we concerned of the boys and girls that are missing from Sunday school? Do we chase them up? Do we follow up and see where they are and get them back out again? You know, friend, that's what we need, a burden for the boys and girls. But anyway, life went on, and I, as I say, carried on. And then Dr. Paisley had, in the old Ravenhill Church, he had challenged the Mormons to a debate on the Bible and the Mormon book. And they were invited to come, but they didn't come. They knew they couldn't stand up against a man who knew the Word of God. But I was invited to go, but I wouldn't go. At that time, Dr. Paisley was classed as a troublemaker and so forth, and not many people liked him in those days. And I didn't go anyway. But Billy Douglas went every night to their meetings, and I got the sermon every morning at 5 o'clock in the morning in the van. And I'm telling you, the arguments were going on, and hot things were said, and I decided that I would pack it in with Billy in and give myself to the Mormon way of life. You know, the Mormons were prepared to take me to America and try and educate me. I just have some hope. I couldn't do it here. I don't know how they're going to do it in America. But they were willing to do that. But my mother and father said no. They wouldn't allow us to go. In fact, they told us not to go back to the Mormon church. But I went, and they didn't know I went for long enough after that. But you know, Billy preached the word, and Dr. Paisley had preached the night before. And I rebelled against it. And then, as I said, we were invited to the boys' brigades and the evening service and the gospel meeting. And I went along with my mates. I said I wouldn't go, and then I changed my mind, and I went along to that meeting. And in that meeting, as I was sitting in the front seat, and it was always on this side, the first three rows were kept for the boys. And we were sitting there, and we Pastor Mahibbert, he's in heaven now. He was the pastor at that time, and he preached the Word of God. But I remember sitting in the seat, and I heard the still voice of God saying, what about the broad road and the narrow road? Which road are ye on? Now, to a little boy of 14, not able to read or write, who don't understand these things, it caused much confusion within my heart. But I knew in my heart there was something. I wasn't happy. I wasn't contented. There was something wrong. And I was on the way out, and old Billy was standing at the door, and he stopped me. See, he knew. He seen the signs of conviction or something what was going on. I didn't know. And he said to Eric, do you not think it's time you got saved? And he said, Billy, I don't understand. I'm confused. And so he said, come on with me. We'll go down and see the pastor. So into the little prayer room we went, and Pastor Mahibbert was on his knees praying. And when I come in, he got up of his knees, and he sat me down. He sat down, he says, young man, what's wrong? I said, I don't know, I'm confused. I told him a story. And he said, well, let me show you from the Word of God. And he explained about Calvary, how the Lord had come and died on the cross for me and dealt with my sin, and how he suffered it all for the good works. And being a member of the church and baptism will do nothing for you. And he took that lovely little verse, John 3:16. And he said to me, will you read it? And I said, I can't read. And he said, well, I'll read it for you. And he read it, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then he put it like this, for God so loved Eric Smith, that if Eric Smith believeth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that at that moment I knew in my heart, this is what I want. This is what I have got to do. And I remember getting on my knees and saying that little simple prayer after the pastor, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And I got up in my seat and I knew that night that something had happened in my life. And I remember the pastor saying, young man, he said, Eric, when you leave this meeting, or if you didn't know there was a devil, you'll know there's one tonight. And boy, sure enough, he was right. But I remember him quoting that scripture saying, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, new things come. And I remember going down the road and the battle was on and the rage was on and I'm pondering and the devil said, what about the Mormons? What about your mates? They'll all laugh at you. You have changed again. And this was all going on in my heart. And I had nobody there. Billy had to rush away. I was on my own. There's a big road called the Rocky Road, if you know where the Craigie Road is, between Craigie and Castlereagh. It's a big, big steep hill. In those days, you couldn't get a car up it. You had to walk it. No car would have climbed it. That's how steep it is. But I remember walking that. It was in the summer nights. It was just in the... There was good nights there in October. And I remember walking and walking and ended up about an hour, 2 hours later, I headed home. And coming into the house, my mother was standing at the sink washing the dishes. And I did a very simple little thing, and I believe it was the fruit of the Spirit. And I went over, and there was a cloth sitting, a tea cloth sitting, and I lifted the tea cloth, and I started to dry the dishes. And my mother looked at me. Is there something wrong with you, son? Because I wouldn't have dried dishes. My mother got more lip than enough, I'm sorry to say. I had no respect for my mom and dad. And you know, that was the fruit. I said, Mommy, just like that. Mommy, I got saved tonight. Well, that's good, son. Up the stairs and told my daddy. Told my brother. There were four of us slept in the one room. And they all said, I can that last 6 months. And they started to laugh. And for the first time, I knelt down beside my bed. And I can remember what I said that night. I says, Lord, I don't understand. But I know that you have something for me to do. And while I was talking to the Lord, my brothers were throwing the pillows at me and trying to upset me. And I climbed into bed, went to school the next day and told all my mates and friends. And many of them didn't want to know me. I thought I had the plague. But the teacher seen the change already and knew that something had happened in my life. But I caused them nothing but pain in school as well because I couldn't understand and do the education. So I caused the trouble. I get into mischief. But then there was a change in my life. Something had taken place. But I remember then saying to myself, what did I do next? And I remember the announcement was in the meeting about the Wednesday night prayer meeting. And I went up and a brother-in-law of mine gave me a Bible, and I still have it falling apart, but I treasure it because it was the first Bible that I ever had. And I couldn't read it, but I had this Bible. And I remember going up to the meeting, and I went into the meeting, and I was sitting with my Bible, and the pastor said, we're going to read a certain book in the Bible. And I said, dear, dear, where is this? I don't know where this is. And I was looking everywhere, and I didn't understand. So I opened my Bible, and here's what I did. I put my finger over the books of the Bible, and let on that I had found the place. Didn't want nobody to know that I didn't know where it was. And I did that for years. Then I was invited to... I used to go to these wee college meetings, wee meetings, and I couldn't get enough of the Lord. And you know, nobody forced me to go to the prayer meeting. What happened? The Spirit of God led me. The Spirit of God took me to the very important place that every Christian should be, and that's in the place of prayer. And that's been in my life at that day to this day, where I learned to pray and I learned God's word. But I said, I used to go to these wee meetings and I used to hate these preachers who say, now we're going to have a Bible reading, but I want everybody to read a verse each. Or I used to, all of a sudden I had an awful urge to go to the loo. And the way I went to the loo, out of the road, and waited till they'd done the Bible reading and then went back in again. You know, friends, that's why I'm saying to you, be thankful that you're able to read. You don't know what it's like for a person like me, and I know others in life. I meet them all the time and met them in the whole life of people who were like myself and thought that they could be nothing. Let me tell you, that is wrong. That is the devil's lie. And when you give your life to God, remember what the Lord said, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Oh, what a day it was when I put my trust in the Lord, and the Lord may lead me and guide me and direct me from that day forth. And that is the honest truth of the matter. Be not wise in your own eye. Oh, how often we try to be wise in our own eyes, but not in the eyes of God, that he may guide us and watch over us. Let me to fear God and follow him. And I simply did that. And then the years went on, the Lord spoke to me and said, this is part of your testimony. There's other people out there like yourself thinking they can't do nothing for God. Think they're useless. Well, they're not. And a friend, it doesn't matter what situation you find yourself tonight, the Lord can indeed help you and bless you. And then the Lord laid on my heart about the work of God. In Romans chapter 10, when it talks, how will they hear without a preacher? How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel. And I remember the Lord challenging me in my home on this very thing. And I argued with, Lord, I couldn't be a preacher. I can't, no education. In no way could I do this. But I said, Lord, what I will do, I'll go round the doors, have beautiful feet, and I'll take them, and I'll walk it, and I'll knock the doors, and give them a testimony, give out a tract, and that's what I did. And friend, God bless that work. Things that I could keep you here all night happening on the doorstep. And I was in the John Knox's at that time, and the families that were coming into the John Knox through that visitation, I couldn't believe what the Lord was doing. And as the years went on, the work grew. And then it came one night as I was starting to think about full-time service. And all I got was, oh, you must go to the college. You must do this and do that. Now, I'm not knocking the college. It's rightly so. But I knew I couldn't cope with the college. Couldn't cope with the education as it was. And I couldn't, knew rightly that I couldn't go to the college. Because in the college, apparently, they sit and you have to, they quote the thing, you have to write it down, they don't put it on a board for the copy, and you have to be faster writing. I said, there's no way that I'm going to do that. So I got very downhearted and started to go the opposite direction. And one night come, and the thing was, friend, I left school at 15, I was never out of work. God got me a job, simple job. And God, up to this day, has never failed to give me a job to work till I come into the Lord's work full time. But let me tell you this, God dealt with my heart. He took me to Jeremiah where he talks about the potter and the clay. And he got me into the place of my settee in the house and broke me. And says, look, you're the clay, I am the boss here. You lay in my hand, you put your hand in my hand. And I will lead you. And I simply did that. And through all the odds of people said that I'd never be anything, I will never do anything, you need to go to college, you must do that, the Lord opened another door. And there in the Limestone Road tonight, next year we'll be celebrating our 30 years in that road. A simple little church, a Sunday school complex, a church bus on the road. We haven't two need or other guy. We can't say that there's thousands in the bank. We go from month to month. Only working class people. 90% are not even working. And yet the Lord provides the need. Not our greed. And if God has blessed us, thank God the Lord has given me good elders, good committee men. You're 100% behind us and certainly there to support us in every way. And they're great, all active in the work of God. We have a Sunday school up to about 60, 70 children coming in every Sunday and a Friday night. With a youth fellowship on a Thursday night. We have a gospel meeting on a Tuesday night. The only night we have nothing on is a Monday night. and the three services on Sunday morning, Sunday school, and Sunday night. And God has blessed that and helped. It has been tough, don't get me wrong. It's not been all sunshine. It is rough and hard many a time, and was nearly giving it all up when you get depressed and things don't go the way you want it to go. But it's been hard. But I learned to trust in the Lord, to leave with Him. And these trials are sent to try us. And you know, the Lord led me many years ago to go into politics, and I've been done 20 years in politics. I always wondered what was it for. But it was one thing I never missed the opportunity when I took my God with me, and I witnessed, and I've seen people saved in the city hall. I met many a Roman Catholic there and spoke to them about the Lord. I've talked to Sinn Féin, them all about the Lord and their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew where I stood for as far as the Word of God is concerned. And then the big one came when I didn't realize what the Lord had me there for. That was the Lord Mayorship. And you know, all the opposition was against me for being Lord Mayor. And because of my faith, I have all the clippings in the papers where the comments were made. They had nothing, nobody could point the finger, but they said because of a strong evangelical faith that they couldn't say that I could be Lord Mayor. And I remember one lunchtime in the canteen getting my lunch, and I was sitting on my own, and these two politicians come in, and they say, "Ah, girl, you have no hope of being Lord Mayor. They're all against you. You have no hope." Well, I just looked at them. I said, "Well, I have a message for you." God says, "Be still and know that I am God." And that's what happened. Well, you know the rest that happened. And little did we know then that the big day was coming when the President of the United States was coming to Belfast. And I remember the whole fuss about it. And I remember that these Americans came across, and this big meeting was set up, the Lord Mayor and the Chief Executive and all these Americans and everybody, they're all burnt down. And I was sitting there, and this American, he turned around and said, "Well, Lord Mayor, we would like you to take 2 minutes in speaking and then hand over." I said, "You're not telling me what to do." I says, "I'm the Lord Mayor of this city. I'll speak as long as I want to speak." And he turned around, he looked at the Chief Executive, and he just said, "He is the Lord Mayor." And so, you know, we had a blessed year. You know, that Lord Mayor's office was used nothing but drink, and you name it, was going on all sorts of sinful things over the years. And for the first time for a year, we turned it, and we had gospel meetings in the city hall. We had morning breakfasts and meetings going on that invited different ones. And you know, the young girl, Anne, who's a Roman Catholic, who looked after the Lord Mayor, she never missed a meeting. In fact, she wouldn't even take her holidays when I was Lord Mayor. We had a great year, a great witness. And I still go and see her. She's had cancer, I'd like you to pray for her, and she's had a few wee scares. But she hasn't come to the Lord, and I keep talking to her about she's got to get away trusting in the church and all what they believe in and turn to God. And you know, friend, God has blessed. Fear not, Luke. Our God is mighty and He's able. You young ones, don't let the devil rob you of the greatest blessing. It's a great privilege to serve God. I just look back 47 years and said, "Lord, what did you see in me? I can't understand it, how He done the great things and blessed in my life over the years. To see the little work grow, and how the Lord has seen many precious souls saying, saved in that meeting." And I remember not very long ago, just about 4 months ago, I was up in the hospital visiting one of our members. And I was sitting, and I was there for about an hour and a half talking, and then I read the scriptures and prayed. And I went out, and 2 days later, I come back up again. And the gentleman who was there, he says, "Eric, see that wee man across the way there? He wants to talk to you. He heard you praying and reading." He said he couldn't understand how you took so long, sat down and took time to talk to the hospital. And he was a Roman Catholic from Macclesfield. His wife traveled from Markerfeld every day. So I went over and he introduced me and got talking to the man. And I just said, well, after we fight, would you mind me if I pray with you? And I prayed with him. Next few days, a week or later, I come up again, went around and seen him, talked to him, and began the conversation, and I told him the way of salvation. He said him, I'm getting out on Friday, so that was all right. So as I thought he was getting out, but the phone rang in the house, I gave him my card, and he rang, he says, I'm still in, he said. I said, do you want me to come up and see? Oh, he says, I would. So when I went up to the hospital, into the ward, his wife said, I'll go out and I'll just take. And I was speaking, he says, Eric, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I was all taken back. I said, now, are you sure what this is all about? Because you know the way they're brought up and what they're taught, the priest. He said, let me tell you, I know I need Jesus. He said, I want to give my heart. And I went over it again. Yes, I am sure know what I want to do. And he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Following Monday, I went up to see him, and he was very ill. He says, Eric, all is well. I've told my wife not to worry. I'm going to be with the Lord. And 2 days later, he died and went to heaven. And you know, his wife told his son to ring, and his son rang me to tell me. Brokenhearted. But you know, friend, I'm saying that is a joy. What the Lord can do if you're prepared to trust him. And that's why this portion of scriptures to me, it means my trust in the Lord with all thy heart. And lean not onto your own understanding. We're so often wanting to work things out. You know, if I was to work things out, I would never have built that church where it is today. Because we hadn't 2 days to rub together. And when I went and they were throwing us out of the little house, we started in the little home. And we thought that was the end of it all. But you know, the Lord opened the door and they gave us ground. But the sad thing was, they said, you must build inside a year. And we haven't got much money gathered up. And then God sent this man from Singapore, Peter Ng. You know Peter Ng? Peter come. And I got to know a Dr. Chu. Dr. Chu was over in Mr. Paisley's church about 3 years ago or 4 years ago. And but him and I came with a friend. I didn't know this man at money. And he said to me, what do you need? And I said, well, we have about 20,000 saved up. We need about 72,000. That's 30 years ago. And you know, he said, I'll lend you it. I never interrupt. And there it was, the church was built. God provided. That's all paid back. Then I have a great burden for the boys and girls. We're using the church and the Sunday school. I was begging, and this ground came beside us. And I says, Lord, will you give us this ground? And we were offered the ground. And at that time, it cost $4,500. And again, the money came in, we bought the ground. And you know, we went to the bank, and I said to the bank manager, I need $30,000. And he said to me, where are you getting the money to pay this? And I says, the Lord will provide. The man wasn't saved. He looked at me. He just said, aye, all right, you've got the loan. Just like God. I got the loan, and the thing was built. And then I was given a little hall in the Shanga Road, and we had this little hall, and we only spent about £1,000 putting new electric lights and all that. And then we got word it was coming down. So we were closed up, and that was all right. And the housing society came down and said, we're offering you £29,000. I said to the fella, take it before the ginger mind. So that cleared the building off, and we're sitting free from debt. And we thank the Lord met every need. Friend, tonight, let me say this. God is wonderful. Yes, there's times of troubles and times of hard times, and that's when we really need the Lord, our strength, for take us through. But I know that, friend, if you're not saved tonight, you're missing in the greatest opportunity, that the Lord loves you with all his heart. And the Lord came and he died on the cross to save you from your sin. And he calls you tonight, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he's calling you from sin. He's calling you from this old evil world. And friend, God wants to redeem you from this world and save you and wash your sins away. And the only way is through Christ. It's through going to the cross, and only the cross. And you get to the cross there, your sins will be washed away forever. And friend, God, when he comes into your heart, oh, it's great. When Christ enters your life, it isn't a personal thing. Which with the fellow of the day, he sent for me. He used to be in the lodge I was in, and I met him on the I organized the 12th of July witness, going to the field every year for the last 30 years. And he came over to me on the 12th. He says, "Eric, if anything happens to me, will you bury me?" I said, "Aye, but one thing you do for me." I said, "You get saved." I said, "Bury me burying you, and you're saved." And he looked at me. So he's in hospital. I want you to pray. Call him David. And I went up and see him this afternoon, talked to him. He said to me, "I'm ready." And I thought he was saying, "Give your heart to the Lord." "No," I said, he started. I said, "David, you're an orange man, and you know what orangeism teaches. And you know you need to be saved. You need Christ as your Savior." And friend, he just looked at me and said, "I know." He said, "I've only got 3 months to live." I said, "Well, I'm praying the Lord will open your heart, that God will, you'll let the Lord in and save you tonight." And friend, the time is short. Can you not look around you and see what's happening in this old world? It's fast forward to the Lord's coming. He's coming. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet him? You young ones, maybe your mommy and daddy saved tonight, you're not. Friend, are you going to be left behind? And you're going to be left in this old sinful world, or left without Christ, and where there's no hope when the Lord comes for the church and takes the people away? Are you ready tonight? Well, Jesus Christ went to the cross for you tonight, that you may come as a sinner and repent of your sin and take Christ as your Savior. Friend, there's no hope outside the Christ tonight. There's no hope in churches. There's no hope in baptism. There's no hope in confirming, being confirmed. There's no hope in good works. I tried it, and it didn't do me any good. I tried to be righteous. I tried to be holy, and I couldn't keep it till one day, for by grace I was saved through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And friend, tonight God is the only way of salvation, his marvelous grace. I was speaking this morning in the church how Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And through all the torment in this world, and I said, I was saying to the people this morning, look around ye, as it was in the days of Noah, it is today. The very same things are happening. Look at the disasters this week. Out of the blue, these disasters are happening, friend. And yet the people have no thought of God. There are our parliament are working away there, nothing but disaster. Why? Because they've forgotten about God. They've forgotten about the Word of God. They've forgotten about the faith and the things that God put them earth for. But they'd rather have the smile of the world and the approval of God. And friend, I believe the judgment of God upon our nation, because our nation knows better. We're built on this book. I was listening to a program on America, the history of America, and it would really do your heart good to listen to the very same thing. America was built on the faith. Men of God and power. And the Senate, they had prayer meetings and Bible studies. The men that, that's why America became a great nation, because the men at the top are men of God. But sad today, it's the opposite. You're not even allowed to teach the Ten Commandments in school or pray in America's schools today. And she's gone down, down, down. She's in serious financial trouble, the same as Britain. And friend, this is all because men have taken their eyes off the Lord. But thank God, God's people. And I encourage the people of God. God will look after us. God will meet our need. Not our greed, he'll meet our need. And God will take care of its people through these battles. When the world forget about God, let us not forget who our Redeemer is and who our Savior is tonight. The great one who loves us and cares for us. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. He's a great friend tonight. And friend, if you haven't got him tonight, I don't know how you live without him, because our hope is in him. Our destiny is sealed tonight. Thank God our hope beyond this grave. Maybe tonight you're one of suffering in the body. Well, let me encourage you. One day it'll be all over, and your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And one day that when the battle is over, we can rejoice around our Savior's feet. But friend, if you're not saved tonight, and you say this old miserable world is getting worse, and it will come on. As I said, there are people this morning, you hear people talking about praying for the peace of the world. Friend, you're not praying on scriptural. That God said in the last days they'll be as bad as the days of Noah. And there's no hope for this world. All we can pray is hope that God will save them and bring men and women to Christ and boys and girls, and that we will reach out to them and reach out with the gospel. It's good to hear that you have an outreach work, and that's very important that we continue to reach out. God led in my heart over 2 years ago to do a CD. And we have put out 25,000 CDs in North Belfast. My plans is to try and do every home in North Belfast. I will end myself into the New Lodge Road with fear and trembling in case someone recognized you. That's why I took my beard off, that they didn't recognize me. And I did every home in the New Lodge Road. There was only one man come out and shouted at me when I put the wee CD. And we got fed back from people. And some people have got saved through those CDs. And you're never going to reach them ever. So we decided we're going to do the CDs. And we've an over 5,000. And you know, friend, I can't believe, and it's all done by faith, the Lord has met every bill. Every bill has been paid for with these CDs. And you know, it's a great opportunity. We had a mission last year, and for a whole year, we did our local area with gospel tracts and CDs every month. And we got complaints about all these CDs and tracts coming into the homes. And we planted for that whole year before the mission, the CDs. And I said, and some of our people said, not much happened. I said, look, did Noah preach for 120 years and only 8 saved? But the people will not point the finger in the day of judgment that the Jesus saved Bible church never witnessed in the local area. And that's what I am burdened for, and getting the gospel out. Oh, may the Lord bless you. I've probably been on too long here, and the Lord bless. I could say a lot more, but the basis of my testimony is, friend, God can do anything if you let him. He can use young people. Oh, every day we need young people to come forward and serving God. Friend, you do it. And God will bless you, and he will meet your need, and he will use you if you're saying, here am I, Lord, sent me. May the Lord bless you as we continue the guy. I may never see you again after tonight, but this, I do remember this. We're praying for you. I pray. My heart lies within the Free Church. Always had. That's where I got my grounding. That's where the Lord called me to serve the Lord from the missionary meetings in Ravenhill, in the old Ravenhill Church. I remember coming out and giving my life to God in those Easter conventions and the Saturday night missionary meetings. And friend, I have a lot to thank the Free Church for. And I pray for the Free Church, and I know they all pray for us because they all call us, everybody calls us a little phrase, and we are not ashamed. Used to call us the Jesus Saved Mission Church, but 2 years ago I asked to change the name to Jesus Saved Bible Church, because we're pilling our what we believe. As a man said to me one day, there's one thing people know where you stand. If Jesus saves and you believe in the Bible, and that's what we preach, the Word of God. That's why I have the best men coming to help us out to preach. I thank God for your minister, for many other ones in the Free Church come and help me. And because I can't preach all the time because of my disability, but I preach as much as I can. And it's always good to have the little Lawrence. You know, I always remember what the Lord said to Moses. When Moses made the excuses, the Lord said, you've got Aaron. And we all need a little Aaron. It's good to have the good elders, good men of God around that can lift the arms of the man of God. He's not here tonight, but he's got the Aaron to lead the meeting. He's got the Aaron to do other things. And so, friend, you can make no excuses. God will bring forth the orange, and he certainly has done it through my life, through all the time. And then when the member of the Clinton fellowship was over, God said to me, out of the politics. And let me say, yes, for 12 years I disobeyed the Lord. The power of politics takes over. And I wrestled 12 years knowing that I shouldn't be there. And one day in my bedroom, God spoke to me very, very severely. And I remember jumping off my bed and just said, Lord, and I knew this was my last child. He challenged me 3 times. And I said I was coming out, and I changed my mind 3 times. And this time frame, I knew there was a last call. And I know tonight, if I had not obeyed that call, I know I might be sitting with an empty church or not in the work at all, because I disobeyed the Lord. I finished what the Lord wanted me to do, and he took me out, and I'm glad I'm out of it now anyway. What's going on all around you, wouldn't want to be a part of it. I thank God that the Lord has kept me and he's led me. And the only sorry thing, and this is why I want to encourage the young ones, I'm only sorry that I disobeyed the Lord for those 12 years. I'm sorry. 12 years I could have much other work done. But I keep saying, Lord, please give me that added days that I may serve thee, that you store unto me that the locusts have eaten. And God is good, and God will bless us if we give ourselves unto him. Let us pray. Father, tonight we thank you for this work. We thank you for those that's willing to hear thy word. And we pray, God, that thou will bless this church and the minister and the elders and the deacons and the people who faithfully and love the work here and love Coleraine and want to win it for Christ. And we pray that you will bless their work of outreach and children's work and all that they do, that thou will bless them and use them for God. We ask again to raise up the minister, that he will be here on Tuesday night. That you'll touch him, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We ask thee this night. And Lord, we pray that thou will bless us as we go our separate ways. We think of the work in Belfast. We think of our brother Sammy, who's taking the meeting. You're blessed. And we'll go back there, hear the news of sinners been saved. Lord, we pray, even tonight in this meeting, if there's any sinners, Lord, save them and bring them on to Christ, that they might trust thee. Now, Lord, thank you for this wee cup of tea and something to eat. We ask you to bless it to our bodies. And may we, Lord, have great fellowship together and enjoy the company of the Lord in the presence of his people. So, Lord, be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.